Welcome back to the clubhouse. It's Bailey and Noakes with you. Sans Kyle Bailey. He is out today taking care of some personal business, so we're rolling along without him. Hour number two now off and running. Danny Noakes, Chris Barnhart now joined, as we are every Friday, by our good friend from Tech Sideline, Chris Coleman. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. Chris, what's going on, dude?
Not too much, man. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, it's snowing out there right
now. Big shocker.
It's, yeah. I hate to complain about the weather because at this point, you know, what else do you expect in Appalachia?
Yeah, I was just happy weather was pretty decent for Junior Day.
It was not so bad. So let's just get right into it. It's been a while since we talked last. We didn't get to do our usual Friday spot because we did National Signing Day last week, and that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's Signing Day is always very busy. Requires a lot of work. At the end of the day, you're just ready to go to bed, but it is fun at the same time.
Right, and so as I look at Tech Sideline right now, I noticed that you've put out a couple of scouting reports on some of these specific guys. Some of the ones that jump out to me, Divine Diablo, mm-hmm. and of course the guy that I have, I'm really excited to see, Devontae Beckett. So what did you see in some of these guys? I guess we'll start with Beckett.
Beckett, I think, is an underrated prospect. I think he's a much better football player than his higher-regarded teammate, mm-hmm. Jaquan Ulee, who's going to Marshall because of grades. I think Beckett has a better head on his shoulders. I think he's a better pure football player, and I think he has a much higher chance of success in college.
The thing about Beckett for me, and we'll move through all these guys here, but and Bud Foster said this when he was talking about it, he likes to rip people's faces off. I mean, he just plays with a very, a lot of intensity, a lot of enthusiasm, and he's slinging guys around if you watch his film.
Yeah, and he's not the biggest guy in the world, so mm-hmm. he has to play like that. But the main thing is his playing strength. He plays stronger than he looks like he would. When he hits people, they stop.
Yeah.
They go backwards, mm-hmm. and he runs through tacklers and things like that. I think he's got a very, very good short area burst, which is very important for a linebacker. Mm-hmm. A top speed isn't necessarily important for a linebacker, but short area burst is really important, and he's got that.
Yeah, he gets sideline to sideline really well. What about Aaron Carter? What are your thoughts on him?
He's an interesting prospect. He's got a heavy shoulder, as Charlie Wiles would say. He's a big guy. He looks like Cam Chancellor at middle linebacker, mm-hmm. basically. I project him to the Mike position. He's got to do a better job diagnosing plays. Not sure how fast he is, and he's got to keep his feet moving when he tackles people. But when you look at him, he looks like a ACC football player already.
Right.
Didn't have any other Power 5 conference offers though, mm-hmm. which is interesting. So he might be a little bit of a reach from that standpoint.
He's pretty hulking figure. Yeah, he looks like
he's a very hulking figure. But I think considering the lack of linebackers on Virginia Tech's board, mm-hmm. Fuente came in and basically pulled the scholarship for Victor Green, who ended up at Coastal Carolina, mm-hmm. who had no other Division I A offers,
right.
and replaced him with Aaron Carter, who didn't have a bunch of Power 5 conference offers, but he did have 1A offers, and he's a better fit, mm-hmm. I think, than Victor Green was. So right. We upgraded there.
Yeah, the other guy is Divine Diablo, and he's someone that you would expect to come in and contribute right away. One of the things that people were knocking Tech for in this last season was the lack of receiver depth. They added a slew of receivers this season, and one of the guys, Divine Diablo, he's coming in early, correct?
Oh, yeah, three of them are already here.
Right.
He's here, Sam Denmark is here, and Eric Kuma's here. And you got to give both staffs credit. The old staff did a great job identifying wide receivers that not only have the physical ability to help early, but who had the grades to graduate early, so they mm-hmm. could come in and get 15 extra practices under their belt, which gives them a better chance to contribute as true freshmen. Or at least they're going to contribute as true freshmen either way, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll make them more advanced at the beginning of the season. It'll make them a little more ready to play. So they did a great job of identifying those guys, closing on them. Mm-hmm. And then the new staff did a great job keeping them on board because those guys had other options. I mean, UNC made a heavy run at Divine Diablo.
Right. Phil Patterson, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did Phil Patterson also, who will be enrolling over the summer. Mm-hmm. And Sam Denmark is from South Carolina, and South Carolina made a really strong push at him, got him to take a visit, offered him and everything like that, but the new staff was able to hold on to him. So you got to give both staffs credit, I think, for this wide receiver haul. I think it's pretty impressive.
People were a little skeptical of this class coming in, but I mean, could you really have asked much more of Fuente and what he did in the short time that he's been here so far?
Probably not, considering how far behind they were. And I know I keep saying that, but, you know, from everything I heard, you know, without going into great detail, they were way, way, way behind when that staff got here. And I think they did a good job getting guys to visit who weren't even interested in Tech a couple months ago. So I'm anxious to see what they can do with the 2017 class with a whole year to work on those guys.
Right, and it started not too long after the 2016 class was signed.
Right.
Tywan Garbutt was the four-star defensive end, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That they signed. What do you think that the early commitment means for the program in this recruiting class? It's got to be great.
Yeah, I think it's great considering, you know, it depends on which service you use. But Virginia Tech did not sign a consensus top 10 player
right.
in the state of Virginia this
mm-hmm.
past year. You know, I've got Eric Kuma in my top 10 personally, mm-hmm. and Reggie Floyd close to that. But not there was no consensus that any of those guys were top 10 players that Virginia Tech signed last year. Garbutt's a unanimous top 10 player, as far
right.
as I can tell. We've got him at number 4. I think 247 and Rivals have him in the top 8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's a major pickup. He's got a big offer list. Very good athlete. Also plays wide receiver / tight end for that team.
That's all the film I found on him.
Yeah.
I didn't dig too deep for that, but most of it is him at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And what a freak athlete he is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's got to add a little more size. He's not mm-hmm. your traditional defensive end, but, you know, he'll play at Virginia Tech, I think, at 245 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. And he'll be a good football player for us. I really like him. I think he's a top 5 player. You know, and there's some other good defensive ends in the state too,
mm-hmm.
and he's arguably the best. He probably doesn't have the pro potential of a guy like Yetur Matos, who I'm also hoping Virginia Tech can land mm-hmm. a defensive end. But you know, I think he's got the potential to be just as good a college player.
Right. Give Garbutt a chance to just go into a Division I strength and conditioning program, put on some muscle, get into football shape, and then let's see what he can do on the field.
Yeah.
Still has one more season in high school still to go. But it's good to see, because when I was at home over the holidays, looking on the front page of the Washington Post, there was a picture of John Allen from Stonebridge High School up in Northern Virginia and Deshaun Hand.
Yeah.
Two guys from Northern Virginia that both ended up going to play at Alabama. And I looked at my dad and I said, well, this is what Fuente was brought in to do, to try and get these guys who were nationally highly touted, not just in the state of Virginia, that, you know, obviously ended up at Alabama, but Fuente's going to try and bring these guys back to the Commonwealth and try and take, you know, Virginia Tech has seen its struggles trying to land defensive linemen in recent years.
You know, I was talking to a really well-respected in-state coach mm-hmm. this past week, in-state high school coach. You know, I don't want to give his name or anything like that, but he told me, that from what he can tell, it's a fad. If you look all over the country, kids are leaving their home states a lot more these days mm-hmm. than they were in the past. They're getting more exposure to these schools because of all these national TV contracts and things like that. So it's easier to get an idea about Alabama mm-hmm. or Texas A&M or LSU or whoever because they're just on their own TV so much these days. Yet and still, I think Virginia Tech contributed to that fad in the state of Virginia by mm-hmm. just making some bad recruiting decisions, putting the wrong people in the 757, hiring the wrong people in the staff in the first place, and in general just ignoring offense for the better part of a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really contributed to what's happened in the state of Virginia, and it's not going to be an overnight process turning around. It was
right.
not an overnight process building it up.
No.
I mean, Frank Beamer likes to talk about Cornell Brown being the recruit that turned everything around at Virginia Tech, and
mm-hmm.
he's right to a certain extent. I mean, Cornell was the number 3 player in the state that year, but Cornell was like the only top 10 guy to sign with Virginia Tech that
right.
year in 1993. You know, it wasn't until really wasn't until that class of 98 when it was Vic and Housewright and
mm-hmm.
Suggs and Ronyell Whitaker, all these top 10 guys in the state of Virginia, Tech signed at least half of them. It really wasn't until around 1998. It was a 98 through probably 2005 era was Virginia Tech's peak era in recruiting. And it
right.
took a long time and a national championship game appearance to build up to that level, really. It's not going to be an overnight process here. You know, I think better energy, which Fuente certainly has, better ideas, better communication skills, better recruiting assistance,
mm-hmm.
all that are going to combine to put Virginia Tech in a better position than they were, you know, the last 5 years with regards to in-state recruiting. But you know they're going to have to start winning some games too, and they're going to have to look better when they do it. I mean, some of these games they've been playing the last few years, I mean, my gosh,
if you watch
that Virginia Tech Wake Forest game, you're Josh Sweat.
You wasted your time.
You're Josh Sweat. You're making your decision in 3 weeks between Virginia Tech and Florida State, and then you watch that Virginia Tech Wake Forest game, and you're like, you know, Florida State, they just won a national championship, or I can go in state and go play for this team who plays a 6-3 overtime game.
Yeah,
I mean, come on. Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah,
it was bad. And back then, when we go back to 1998 and picking up Michael Vick and getting those recruits, Virginia Tech wasn't a brand yet. It didn't really become a brand until Michael Vick and in the national championship season. So, to me, it seems like if they have immediate success, which I can easily see this team, it would be difficult, but to go 10-2 next season. You can see that happening. You can also see them going 7-5.
Sure.
But if they immediately win 10 games, I would expect to see a pretty significant spike sort of recruiting.
If they were able to do that, then I agree with that. There would be a spike fairly immediately. Unfortunately, what you get to these days is these guys are committing before the season even starts, a lot of them.
Yeah.
So a lot of these guys, like the Kalon Laybournes, the Devon Hunters, the Eric Crosbys, they're all going to make their commitments before Justin Fuente even coaches his first game at Virginia Tech. So, you know, from a win-loss standpoint, you know, I think he's got a chance to make his biggest impact on the 2018 class rather than the 2017 class. For the 2017 kids, they've just got to sell them on a vision. Here's what it's going to look like once we get our guys in the program. If you guys commit, once you guys come in and start playing for us, here's how it's going to look like. But unfortunately, he doesn't have any – he can only point to his Memphis days right now. He has no tangible evidence of him – putting up a bunch of yards and a bunch of points and winning a bunch of games at Virginia Tech to throw in front of them quite yet.
Right. Well, we haven't even touched on this whole Torian Gray thing, have we?
We have not.
And we're going to have to step aside and take a break, but when we come back, we will jump into Torian Gray leaving, of course, for the University of Florida. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.